In a world where the demands on teachers just seem to grow endlessly, the topic of teacher burnout has really never been more relevant. With mounting pressures from things like curriculum changes, standardized testing, and now the unique challenges presented in what I will call like the modern classroom environment, teachers are really facing this unprecedented level of stress and exhaustion. And I'm sure all of you out there are nodding your head with me right now. So in this episode, we are actually going to be joined by a remarkable guest. Brittany Blackwell from Teaching Mind, Body, and Soul is here with us today. And with her expertise in combating teacher burnout, Brittany offers really invaluable insights and strategies to help educators navigate through these turbulent times. So join us together as we chat and explore the root causes of teacher burnout and discover practical approaches to rejuvenate the mind, the body, and the soul of teachers everywhere.
Teaching skills like reading comprehension doesn't have to be overwhelming. With the right tools and strategies in place, you can find success for you and your students. Step into the Literacy Lounge, the podcast that will give you the what, why, and how to elevate your literacy instruction and get the results you've always wanted. Here's your host and veteran elementary school teacher, Sierra Harris.
Before we dive in, let me take a quick second to introduce our amazing guest. Brittany Blackwell is an award-winning special educator and teacher burnout and sustainability strategist from South Carolina. With over 13 years of experience in elementary and middle school classrooms, Brittany has become an expert in addressing teacher burnout. She also is the host of the popular podcast, The Resilient Teacher Podcast. Brittany is passionate about empowering teachers and educational leaders to really prioritize their mental health. She helps them develop personalized sustainability and burnout recovery plans, reducing stress and creating the fulfilling lives they've always dreamed of. Through her digital approach, which includes automation, digital planning, vision planning, and sustainable strategies, Brittany has reached thousands of educators worldwide. You may know Brittany as Miss Princess Teach on TikTok, where her social media following grew through her fast-paced, lighthearted tutorials and relatable real-life experiences. She offers teachers actionable strategies, personalized coaching, mindset shifting, and digital resources to create their own individualized burnout recovery plan. By reducing stress and automating mundane tasks, Brittany enables educators to prevent burnout and maximize fulfillment in both their personal and professional lives. Welcome, Brittany Blackwell, to the Literacy Lounge. Hey there, Brittany. It's so great to have you inside the Literacy Lounge.
I am so excited to be here with you today, Sierra.
I cannot wait for listeners to hear what we are about to talk about. So why don't you take a quick second, real quick, and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So my name is Brittany Blackwell. I am the host of the Resilient Teacher Podcast. And I focus a lot on teacher burnout. One, because I experienced it myself. I was one of those teachers who gave their all early on in the game. And I reaped the rewards of that. And I experienced a lot of those types of things. And when I realized what I was doing to myself, it was a huge wake-up call to me. And so I just dove into self-care and learning about stress reduction, brain science. I like really got super nerdy about that. And then the pandemic hit and I was sharing how I was transitioning into virtual teaching on TikTok. But then I realized other teachers were also experiencing that. And I thought I was alone. I thought I just wasn't meant to be a teacher, honestly. Because nobody talked about teacher burnout. Nobody said, hey, you know, at some point in your career, you're going to have to slow down or you're going to have to put these things in place in order to not burn out. Nobody was talking about those things. But then it really ramped up. And I was like, I have studied this stuff for the last 3 or 4 years, and I need to bring this to the teachers of America to let them know they're not alone and there are ways to beat the burnout cycle once and for all. So that's what I do now. I am also an instructional coach and I taught in the classroom for 14 years as a special educator.
That is absolutely amazing. And I, when I came across to you, I was like, I've seen professional development out there for almost everything. You know, there's math support for teachers and SOR trainings and ELL student support. But then I found you and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen anyone or anyone training teachers to support teacher burnout. And I was like, I have to have you on the podcast. So I can't wait to dive into this concept. And I know it's going to reach so many teachers who are just going to nod and agree and give, like, you know, all the amens, because they're feeling it too. You know, whether they were in the pandemic or not, or teaching during that or not, they're still feeling it nowadays for so many reasons. So hopefully, you know, we'll get into some great questions and answers to give them some support and ideas or tips and tricks to really help them start, you know, taking a minute and reflecting and bringing some self-care back into their worlds. So let's start with this. What are some of the primary causes of teacher burnout, and how do they really impact educators both personally and professionally?
You know, teacher burnout is so multifaceted. And I think it's really interesting what you said, you know, the self-care portion. I hate to even bring up self-care with teachers because I think they heard that so many times and it just is not a sustainable thing for them. But when it comes to teacher burnout, it's so hard to pinpoint just one particular cause of it. And I think of it like a mixture of personal, but then also professional factors that kind of intertwine and then make it really difficult to distinguish between them. One of the main things that I see teachers really struggling with right now in education is just the sheer volume of work. Lesson planning, grading, administrative tasks, those are all super overwhelming and the workload is always increasing. There's a term called job creep, where you continuously get more and more added to your plate without, like, compensation for that. And teachers are absolutely experiencing that. And when it comes down to it, it's not just the hours at school that teachers are responsible. They're taking things home with them. And so then they're adding more to their plate and they're then blurring the lines between work and life. And couple that with feeling unsupported by administration, by colleagues, by parents, that just heightens our stress. This could include a lack of resources, understanding, you know, any of the challenges that we face, and just the lack of support in those ways is adding to that. Teachers also experience what is called decision fatigue. The average teacher makes over 1,500 decisions every single day. That's like 5 or 6 decisions every minute. And that spends a ton of mental energy, causing then emotional exhaustion. You know, teaching is emotionally draining. It's emotionally demanding. And when we think about teachers, they're investing their personally into their student success, into their well-being, and that can drain their energy, especially if they're not putting it back into them. Classroom management, there's a huge thing right now talking about students with apathy. And so when it comes down to it, it's just the sheer amount of work and stress that is being placed on teachers without considerable support actions or mindset to really support them in handling that.
Just hearing all of that, I was having so many flashbacks myself in the classroom, because like you, I've stepped away. I support teachers now in a very different role, but having so many flashbacks of how, like, all of those things were completely true. And one thing that I talk about when, you know, when I think about teacher burnout, I think specifically now, when it comes to all of the crazy research that's coming out, you know, with SOR and, you know, what you should and should not be doing, there's something I call teacher, like, whiplash or educational whiplash. And there's so many voices out there saying, do this, don't do this. You should be, you know, if you're doing this, you're a bad teacher. If you teach this way, like, there's so many different, you know, pieces of research and people saying this and that, that I feel like that is one of the reasons too, that teachers burn out, because they're like, I don't know who to listen to. I'm supposed to listen to my admin, but they're not supporting the current research that I'm hearing about. And then I've been told not to do this, but I'm doing that. Like, it's just crazy. And they don't even know how to do their jobs correctly anymore. They want to do what's best for their students and they're trying their best, But it's like, which way do they look and who do they listen to? So I think that kind of goes into like, you know, the lack of support and stuff that you were saying, but that whiplash, what I call, like, it's a really big, real thing. And, you know, how are they supposed to do their jobs when there's so many voices out there telling them how to do their jobs? It's crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've never heard that term before, but I can absolutely, just hearing that, I'm like, yeah, that's another piece of that. And I mean, and adding to that decision fatigue, because then it's like, who do you listen to and why do you listen to it? And I think that's another piece that I'm a little bit different than other people who may be talking about teacher burnout, is because I come from a role as a special educator, I think about everything as individualized. And so I think that if you're going to come up with a burnout recovery plan, that needs to be individualized specifically for you. During the pandemic, I heard so often, oh, well, use this self-care menu. And it's practically like a Band-Aid. And I think that's why teachers don't like the term self-care, is because administrators handed over a self-care menu and was like, hey, go do some self-care. Make sure you take care of yourself. But then it was like, these things don't align with me as a person, like my personality, my values. And so then teachers are like, well, self-care doesn't work. But in reality, it has to come down to the individual teacher and getting to know what their specific values are, what their personality type is, and really rolling that up into something where they can start to re-energize themselves when stress so often drains us.
Yeah, exactly. And stress looks different from person to person. And so that kind of leads me into something I wanted to ask you next. Can you explain the physiological and like psychological mechanisms underlying teacher burnout according to like any of the new like scientific understandings? I know you, like you said, you're big into that brain science. So what do some of those mechanisms look like?
So there are a couple different ones that you can think about it. And so without going too far into it, because I can get super nerdy with it and then it'll be like, what is she talking about? I think it's best to just kind of understand the psychological and the physiological mechanisms happening, to think about stress, the stress that we're experiencing, as like paper, and then our body as like a waste paper basket. So every time that we're experiencing a little bit of stress, we might rumple up that piece of paper and throw it into the waste paper basket, right? And over time, what happens is that stress or that waste starts to accumulate, especially if we're not taking the time to really flatten it out, to flatten out each piece and really take care of it. Or if you think about it, release that stress from your body. And so when that kind of accumulates over time or it overflows, that's when we experience burnout, because it's too much to really go into it. And so what happens is we have to look at it from this lens of being proactive versus reactive. We might start to feel like the stress is starting to build up in our bodies. We might have headaches. We might have, you know, sleep problems, those types of things. We may start eating bad. We're being short with our family or short with our students. And those are all reactions that our body is having because it's in fight or flight mode. But if we take the time to really release that stress with some evidence-based strategies, then it doesn't overflow. And we never get to that point of complete burnout because we're taking care of it proactively. When we think about the things that kind of happen in our bodies and in our brains, like I mentioned, we can experience that fight or flight response. So there's actually two other responses that we have, and that's fawn and freeze. And when you freeze, you're kind of just sitting back and you don't know what to do. So if you've ever been a teacher who's like so overwhelmed, you just procrastinate, you're like, I can't do it, you're freezing. If your administrator comes to you and says, hey, can you like take care of this project or take over this club, and you're already super overwhelmed and you're like, yeah, sure, I can do that. That people pleasing, that's actually fawning. When we are super overwhelmed and we are short, things like that, that is that fight response. We're fighting. But then we can also typically run away. If at the end of the day, you're like Netflix and chill, you're just gonna, you know, scroll your phone, what have you, those are all ways that we kind of escape. And so that's our flight response. And so knowing all of these things about ourselves is so powerful, because then we can actually take steps to say, I don't want to feel like that. I am running away from my stress, or I am fighting my way through stress, or I'm totally people-pleasing, you know, to handle the stress. And we can say, I don't like that. That's actually adding more to my waste paper basket, and it's starting to overflow. Let me start to flatten these pieces out and handle myself, and let me try some different actions.
I am in love with that metaphor. That's such a perfect picture to think about it. And like, then, you know, the way you described flattening, I even thought of like recycling, like get some of that paper out of there, recycle it, get it,
yes.
make better use of it. And it's so important to recognize what stress looks like in your own body, because it's so different for everyone else. It wasn't until my 10th year teaching, I remember this was before school started, I realized that I was actually having this really weird sensation in my throat. And I was like, is this heartburn? It feels so weird. And then I started becoming what's called air hungry. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Like where you're like starving for air, like you're...
Yes. And so it feels, for those who don't know what that means, basically like when you take a very deep breath, so like breath in and breath out, that you actually feel that trigger of like, oh, my lungs are full, I can release. When you're air hungry, you don't feel that trigger. So you never get the sensation of like, my full breath has, you know, done its job, basically. So you're constantly taking deep breaths, you're yawning, you're yearning for that air. And I became air hungry, and I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know what this was. And I was actually in the ER the night before the first day of school because of all this. And so like, I had no idea this was anxiety. This was stress. And so like, it's so important to understand stress, to be able to identify it, because I thought I was dying. Like, what was right. What the heck is going on? I can't breathe. And all in all, it was just stress. And so like, I had to combat all these new stress symptoms that school year. And that was the year I ended up changing districts. I ended up changing my job because I needed something to combat all this stress that was now in my life due to school, due to teaching. So it's just so important to look at those physiological and psychological things, because sometimes you don't even know what they are until someone else tells you, oh my gosh, this is stress, this is anxiety, you need to take better care of yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting because I hear that so often, that teachers don't even realize that stress, it is such a natural progression. Mm-hmm. And there's good stress and there's bad stress. And I hate to even call it bad stress, because stress in and of itself is supposed to motivate you. And so we can actually take a more positive approach to that and use positive stress to motivate us and get us to doing things. But at the end of the day, there are so many teachers that experience anxiety attacks, think they're having a heart attack. I can't tell you how many times I thought I was having a heart attack and ended up in the ER because I was actually experiencing panic attacks. And I did not know that. I was completely unaware. And I think a lot of teachers get to this point because they keep pushing on through, that they don't recognize those symptoms. I'm starting to have headaches. I'm getting really short with people. You know, I'm not sleeping very well. My exercise is out the window. I'm not eating well. I'm just picking up fast food or things like that. And so all of these things really roll up into a ball, and then it starts to overflow. And I think it's really important that we have those conversations and we share what our experiences are. One, so teachers know they're not alone, but then also to let them know, hey, this is how I experienced this. Have you ever experienced anything like that? And they may say, no, I've never experienced that. But then they come around and they say, you know, wow, Sierra is experiencing, you know, or has experienced air hunger. That's what that is, that feeling that I feel in my throat. And then they're like, okay, maybe that's how I'm feeling. And then they start to take those actions and they feel like they're not alone. And they start to recognize, these are my stress triggers. And it all kind of changes from there. And I think that's so important that we have those conversations.
Oh, absolutely. And I can even see benefit in, you know, your colleagues understanding what stress looks like for you. That way they can even help recognize like, hey, you know, your stress level is high. Like, how can I help you? You know, like, we have this community here. Let's use it. And having those conversations, identifying what stress looks like for each individual, communicating that to one another and supporting each other, I think would be a really beneficial way to really make that self-care look more prominent in the school systems.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we, you know, talking about stress, you know, there's such a thing as chronic stress where it really builds up. I think we've all probably experienced that. So how does chronic stress contribute to teacher burnout? And then specifically, let's get into some effective like coping strategies that educators can use to help like mitigate these stress effects.
Yeah. So I kind of touched on that a little bit. There is a cycle of stress. We actually experience a cycle of stress where, like I said, there's positive, there's negative, but these first stages of the stress cycle, of the burnout cycle, are so normal that we may not even realize it's happening. And really, it's just when we get super excited or super passionate about something, we start to overwork. We start to do more. And we may start to just completely not think about ourselves, or we don't not think about ourselves, but we start doing it a little bit less and a little bit less. And we start to focus our energy and our things on our work. And so that's the natural progression. That's the first stage. The second stage is when we start to have those headaches, those things like that, that start to pop up. And it's like our stress is getting a little bit high, a little bit higher, a little bit higher. And then when we get to this state, the third stage, that's where we're completely exhausted. We're cynical. We're starting to say, well, everybody, you know, this is just not for me. Or you may say, no, none of the kids care. They become cynical. And so that's that third stage where it's just, it's too much. And that's when we may think about quitting our jobs. We might say, well, this is just not worth it anymore. And then we may have a break, spring break. And we're like, oh, okay, actually, I actually don't hate my job after all. But then we go right back into that cycle. And so many teachers do that cycle year after year after year. And I think what's really important is starting those things that can mitigate that stress so that they can have a better work-life balance. They can experience more of just that first stage where we get excited and we're a little bit more passionate about our jobs and things like that. Stress is palpable, though. It changes our mindset. It shortens our attention, our bandwidth to withstand more stress, because stress is going to come in and out of our lives as we work, as we experience, you know, different challenges, those types of things. And so one of the easiest ways that teachers can mitigate that stress when they're in the classroom, when they start to feel some of that stress, their tension in their shoulders, those types of things, maybe they're starting to get headaches, is literally to take a breath. It is so simple. Nobody's going to know what you're doing. Or heck, your students might know what you're doing. They might say, oh, Miss Blackwell's taking her breath. We should probably take our breath too. And it becomes a way that you can do that with your students, and where you're like, okay, right now I'm a little bit stressed. I think we should all take a big breath. And so it's super easy, and you can just do it really slowly. I like to do an 8-count in and an 8-count out. If that's a little bit too much, you can always just kind of make sure that it's an even number and do that on the in and then on the out. And you can continue to do that until you start to feel your shoulders drop. That is the most simple way to reduce stress and release it from your body. The other ways that are like evidence-based ways to release stress from your body is, like I mentioned earlier, that fight or flight response. We have that. That is a natural response. When we think about it, like in terms of back in the day, we might would have run from a tiger, right? We got stressed out. The tiger's coming to get us. We would run. Exercising is a way that our body was programmed to release that stress. And so I'm not going to run. So I'm not going to blame anybody else if they don't want to run either. But just getting your body moving, it releases stress from your body. It actually releases endorphins. Happy people don't kill their husbands, right? I don't know if you know about Legally Blonde, but I always think about that when I think about exercise. And then just making sure that you're giving your body what it needs in order to release stress appropriately, having the nutrient-dense food. I know all of this sounds super basic, but those are just the easiest ways to release stress. There are other ways to do that too. But if you're kind of curious about the breathwork thing, I do have a free guide for breathwork. It's teachingmindbodyandsoul.com/breathwork. And it goes through different ways that you can kind of start to do that. And that's just one of the first ways that I started to release stress and reduce that stress from my body. And I highly recommend it for anybody just because it is so easy.
I love that. And you know what? Sometimes we just need that simple reminder. You know, we don't need some big program, some big, like, you know, 10-day vacation, which would be great, right? Sometimes it really is just the simple things that can help eliminate that current feeling that, you know, hey, I'm feeling stressed out right now. What can I do to just help me in this moment? You know, I go to therapy weekly. I highly recommend it for everyone.
Highly recommend.
Whether you feel like you need it or not. And we work on a lot of grounding techniques. And that is one thing that works really well for me. So like, keep putting your feet flat on the ground and kind of pushing them in. And then you take kind of one body part at a time. Typically, you work like head to toe or toes to head. And you squeeze them as tight as you can for like 5 seconds. And then you release them. And you focus on that release because that's what your body should feel like. And so it helps your body understand the difference between tense and relaxation. And then it just helps your body overall. So like doing that while you're eating lunch every day can just kind of help you like bring your body back to into neutral. Or you could even do it like, you know, when your kids are, you know, you just release them for an activity and you can just kind of tell that you're overwhelmed. As you're walking around, you know, you could do calf squeeze and then like do your quads and then your glutes and then like just kind of work your way up. As you're just kind of doing deep breaths, like no one's going to know that you're doing grounding techniques as you're teaching. And right. So like, that's one of my favorite stress relievers to kind of bring me back in the moment, bring my body back to neutral and be like, okay, let's calm ourselves down, calm my mind down. I'm focusing on, you know, my body and my breathing instead of what's going on in my mind. It kind of helps tricks your mind. That is absolutely my favorite technique for stress relief.
Yeah. You know, and you mentioned that, and then it makes me think about how so many people will hear something that somebody does and they're like, that doesn't work for me. And I think it's so important to realize there are going to be different strategies that work for different people. But if you never try them out and if you don't try them consistently, then you're never going to know. And so when I think about like exercise, running is not for me. I'm never going to like running, but you give me a walking pad that I can then work and walk at the same time. Then I'm getting my body moving. I'm actually doing something. And then maybe I want to go for a hike. And so it becomes a slow progression of using techniques that work for you. But unless you try them and really try them out consistently for a little bit, you won't know until you try them. And so highly recommend just trying things out and seeing what works for you.
I could not agree more. There's another technique that we go through and it's the five senses one where you go like, okay, name 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you could smell, you know, 2 things you could taste, et cetera, whatever. So that's another technique. And I'm always like, that's not one that ever jived with me. I'm like, I don't like it. Etc. Until a few weeks ago, believe it or not, I could not fall asleep. My mind would not stop. And I was like, you know what, Sierra, you're laying in bed, do this technique. Let's see what happens. And I did it. And I was asleep before I got to one. Believe it or not. I went to the therapist the next week and I was like, you will not believe what happened. I used it. And now it's my go-to thing when I can't get my brain to stop. And believe it or not, I may not always fall asleep before one, but my brain is like, calm and I'm able to like fall asleep very quickly after that. So yeah. I was one of those like, I'm never going to use this. I don't like it. I'll do it with her when I'm in the session, but like it really does work. So like I had to put my, you know, my stuck up nose aside for that moment and like try it and it freaking worked. And like, it just sounds so corny and weird, but it does. Like you got to put your own personal opinions aside when you're thinking and using these strategies because they really do work. It's crazy.
Yeah. Tools in a toolbox.
Right? Absolutely. So let's talk real quick. How can educators really help recognize those like early warning signs of burnout in themselves? And like, what steps can they take to address it before it becomes just too overwhelming?
One of the ways that I think that's easiest for teachers to notice is there's actually what is called like a calendar of the teacher's feelings. I can't remember the exact words for it, but typically teachers are really excited or they're anticipating the year at the beginning of the school year. But about around September, October, November, they start to have this feeling of they are not really enjoying teaching anymore, or they're starting to think, I don't know why I got so excited. And there is these actual feelings. I'll give you the image for it that the teachers experience as the year goes on. And I think if you can start to notice those feelings of, I don't like this, this isn't worth it, I don't know why I wanted to be a teacher, those initial thoughts, to have that self-awareness, then you can start to recognize, hey, my shoulders are tense, I'm really exhausted. And yeah, teachers are going to be exhausted at the beginning of the school year or at different times of the year because there is a lot of stress happening. But if you can start to realize, I'm really exhausted lately, let me try some new things. Let me try to add, you know, like a protein shake in the mornings, or, you know, a pre-workout in the mornings, I don't know, to like get you excited about the day. If you can start to recognize and become self-aware of how you feel, I think that is one of the most powerful ways that you can address that burnout before it gets too late, where you're starting to be a little bit more proactive. One of the things that I learned in therapy was to just make notes about how I was feeling throughout the day in my planner. And it was super simple. But then I started to get a little bit more geeky with it, where I would say, you know, like at the beginning of my day, I might feel really crappy. The kids are awful. They're doing crazy stuff. That I would say my entire day was bad. But that's not true, because by the end of the day, they'd actually kind of, you know, Johnny did something really funny. And then we were all kind of goofing around and having a great time. I get home, I'm making dinner. The kids actually ate the dinner. It wasn't a bad day. It was just the beginning of my day. And so really starting to pick apart things and have that self-awareness is huge for doing that. I have a free quiz on my website that is to help you to create a burnout recovery or prevention plan. And it really tailors this to you, what you need in that moment. You can actually take it time and time again, because oftentimes we change throughout the school year or we change from year to year. But it helps you to have like a plan in place to really looking for those things that can kind of reduce or prevent burnout. And so the link for that is teachingmindbodyandsoul.com/quiz. But it gives you that step-by-step plan to really help you be able to manage that stress and come up with something that's going to work individually for you.
Perfect. And listeners, just so you know, I'm going to put all of those links that she's mentioning in the show notes. So if you're on your phone, you can just scroll down and there'll be clickable links right there. So if you're like me and you're like, I'm never going to remember that link, they're there for you. So no worries. I'll make sure to get those from her and put those right there for you. So, all right, we're going to kind of start wrapping up, but I want to ask just kind of one quick question. So kind of looking towards the future, what are some systematic changes or policy recommendations do you think, like, what do you think is necessary to address and prevent teacher burnout on more of a broader scale?
I think the most important thing is that we need to look at the workload of teachers as a whole, because it's not a specific school, it's not a specific state, it's globally that teachers are giving way too much to do. And so looking at that workload and then coming up with a support plan for teachers in order to handle that excessive workload, but then also allowing teachers to advocate for their students and for themselves, because I think there is certain states that you can't do that in. And so allowing for that and allowing teachers to kind of heal the system from the inside out, because I think teachers are the only ones who are going to be able to do that.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Yeah, inside out. That's, you know, no one knows unless you're a teacher. You don't know, right. You don't understand. It's like the peanut gallery needs to just be quiet, right? Because get in here and then you'll experience it. Well, Brittany, this was a fantastic conversation. I think we could talk for hours, like you said at the beginning, about teacher burnout. And I know we really only hit the surface and there's so much more to talk about. So I really encourage listeners who related to the content that you heard today to reach out to Brittany. I'm going to make sure all of her social media links, I think she is, you know, she's got a website, her own podcast, of course. If you're not a listener, Teaching Mind, Body, and Soul, a podcast, make sure to go subscribe to that. She's on Instagram, TikTok, and of course, don't forget the free resources. I will link the breathing resource and the quiz in the show notes as well. And reach out to her if you have any questions. I think she probably has some other really amazing resources that are designed to really just help and support you through your burnout journey as well. So, Brittany, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. It was an absolute pleasure to have you. I was enthralled talking about this, and it brought back some yucky memories, but it really brought out some great information that I think teachers will definitely take away and use for themselves.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sierra, for having me be a part of the podcast.
Of course. And listeners, we appreciate you, of course. So make sure to check out those show notes. And as always, shameful plug, if you enjoyed today's show, I would love a follow, a rate, or a review wherever you are subscribing to the podcast. So we'll see you over in the next episode.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Literacy Lounge with Sierra Harris. You can find any of the resources mentioned in the show notes at sierraharristeaching.com/podcast. If you're looking for more support with close reading, download the free close reading guidebook at www.buildingcomprehension.com/close-reading-guidebook. Until next time, happy reading!